forget, probably somewhere around 4 months ago. I can give you this first summer in September was our first Sunday, but probably in August, Brother Ryan got on Craigslist and found this building on Craigslist. And I come out and looked at it along with a lot of other buildings. I went down the hill to talk to this man, began to talk to him, and found out he's very nice. I said, if there's ever a man that would help us, it would be him. And but I thought, wow, so man, this church is off. You know, my mind, really, I'm thinking, well, I need a church on the main highway. You know, I need a building out on Route 9 so people can see, you know, my building and things like that and of this nature. So we continued to look, and everything was so high, we didn't know whether we was going to start or not. And we made up our mind to go ahead and start the church, and the brethren said, how about that building out there? And we come back out here. To make a long story short, this building would rent in a good economy. A cheap rent on this building would be $2,500 a month. It is 4,000 square feet. 25, you know, 50 cents a square foot is dirt cheap for a building, you know, with a working bathroom. I know it's more like a warehouse, but still. And, of course, economy's bad. And I began to talk to him, and he allowed us. He had a bad experience with a church renting when this building, before it was a pizza joint, a church was going to use it for 2 months, stayed a year, wouldn't pay the electric, let him have it real cheap just for they need a temporary building while they're remodeling their church. They'd done him wrong, broke his windows out. So he hadn't had a good experience with churches, but yet his heart was open towards us. And God began to move. And he opened the door and let us have 2 months for $500 a month, including our electricity. God blessed us with some pews that about broke our backs. We hauled out of the old Winchester Church of God building. They used to sit right here in the middle. And God, through his providence, and this is old hat, and some of these songs are old hat for the people at the church, but those that are new will share with you quickly what God has done. And God began to work, and we was here 2 months, and we had them pews, and I was down here praying one night, and God spoke to me to go look for pews. And I said, well, I don't want praying about pews. I wasn't thinking about pews. And went home, and I found these pews right here in a church in Marlow. And emailed the guy, didn't have a phone number, and he emailed the next day, we'd be interested in working with you, I'll call you Saturday. Never heard nothing from him for 4 weeks. He disappeared, never heard. I emailed him twice, no response. I said, well, God, I missed it. And all of a sudden, he called us out of the blue and said, man, I've been trying to get a hold of it, being out of town, my computer went down, lost your number, but I want you to have them. Make a long story short, I said, how much you want for him? And that Baptist preacher said, sir, all I can tell you is I got down to pray. And God told me that I was supposed to give you them pews. I was not to charge you anything. And he said, you're God's man. And God told me to let you have them pews. Well, I don't know about all that, about being God's man. But I tell you what, a lot of things is taking place. And here they are. And I went looking for a van. We got a van. As soon as we get our Sunday school room built, we're going to start picking up children. And we got a van. We got a tour bus. Long story on that. But probably one of the greatest miracles, other than preachers calling me and God showing them things about us, but probably one of the greatest miracles to me was the pews. And when I went back to our landlord after 2 months to talk to him about re-renting this building, and when I went to him and asked him, I said, let me get started. Just he gave me the cheap rent. I said, I'll pay more if we can get going. And I felt like I needed 6 more months to get a few more people in the church and get a little more money coming in, and we did some work to build, and we painted the walls and cleaned up and painted back in the back and put an air conditioner. We've done a lot of work besides the rent was part of the deal, a lot of labor we put into it. But anyway, and I said, God, I need 6 more months. And I felt in my heart, 6 more months. I don't know what God's going to do after 6 months, but I said, $500 a month for 6 more months is what I need. And I walked on his porch and sat down and began to talk to him. What do you want, John? How much you want us to pay? We want to stay a little long. You tell me. We went through the whole rigmarole, the whole circle. And as I began to go through, and finally I just looked at him. I said, John, I need 6 more months at $500, but I will pay more. I promised you I wouldn't be a bum. He said, Brent, you have been a bum. You've turned that church into a beautiful place. You're not a bum. I don't even compare you to them other people. I said, good, that's what I want. He looked at me and said, $500 a month would be fine. What he said next, and we've told it, it's like the miracle of loaves and fishes. We forget about them in 2 or 3 weeks. I don't want to hear about it no more, but it weighs upon my heart. He said, my wife woke up 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, looked at me and said she had never been in this building in her life, in this church since it's been a church. And she said, God told me to tell you, or I had a dream or something. She said, but you're supposed to let them people have that building for 6 more months for $500 a month. 2 weeks before I ever knocked, Brother Shane, that's a miracle. That is the divine finger of God. Come on here now. I said, that is the handwriting of God. I mean, you know, you can say coincidence. Okay, the pews were there. They were on Craigslist. You say, all right, whatever. But you, how do you say it's coincidence when God wakes up a lady who I don't even know if she claims to be saved and says, you got to be there. Why? Because God wants to do that. And if it hadn't have been for what God had done, and God put us right here in this building. And I didn't have a clue the trailers is around. I didn't have a clue the buildings. But praise God, Randy's here this morning. Willie's here this morning. Last week, and I don't know what happened. They're supposed to have been back this week. We had 9 visitors on this side. God's touching and working right out of this area. If we'd have been on 9, we'd have probably never come in these trailer parks, Brother Shane. We'd have been out there looking on Route 9. But God knew there was people in this place. He knew there was a man named Randy laying up under a trailer that wants to find God, that wants to get back to God. That told me, preacher, I'm looking. Come on here now. Amen. And his sweet girlfriend that's here this morning. Amen. And Willie and his wife is trying to get, hey, God knows what he's doing this morning. And now, you know what I want to do? I want to stay in God's will and see what God will do for us. And so we're excited. And I just pray that some of these new ones that are coming will become a part of us. But it ain't over yet. We've said it many times. God did not give us 200. God didn't give us enough pews to see 200 people for us to run 20 for the next 10 years. You understand what I'm saying? And there's a harvest field out there, and I believe that God is going to give it to us. So we're going to work on and pray on and give on. The song says, I'm going to hold on and see what the end is going to be. Amen. So we're glad that you're here this morning, part of this new work. And it's the hardest thing I've ever done. I can tell you that right now. I've evangelized for 10 years, but it don't scratch the surface of trying to be a pastor. And But I'm glad that God counts us worthy. And if he didn't think we could do it, he would not. He wouldn't help us. Amen. He helps us. And all the people that helped us to get started financially, working, knocking on doors, I could not have done it by myself. I don't know if I could have pioneered a church by myself. God may have helped me. He's God. But I tell you one thing, we'd have never been where we are now. I couldn't haul these pews in here. I couldn't do the things, the money that's been given to put the little curtains in the windows and all the things we've done. These people that have helped us get going. May the Lord bless you. Amen this morning. All right, quickly to the book of Luke. Amen. St. Luke's Gospel. Probably the most prominent story of Jesus being born. But we're going to go a little farther into it today quickly. Amen. Luke chapter number 2 tells us of the birth of Jesus Christ. And I feel confident that about everybody here today knows Luke chapter number 2. Jesus born in a manger in Bethlehem, and there he was. And the Bible said that Herod, amen, sought to kill him, and Joseph moved him to Egypt. And we read about the wise men coming, and it don't fall out. You see Jesus in a manger and the wise men standing around, but probably true history tells us that Jesus was probably about 2 years old when they found him, maybe a year or two. He was no longer an infant in a manger, but in a home. And there's different scripture references for that, but he was where the young child lay, and he was no longer an infant probably. And they found him, and Herod wanted to kill him. All these things took place. But my text today is when he was 12 years old, there was a rite of passage in the Jewish that they took their child to the temple for a dedication ceremony, and took him to the temple for a ceremony, and it was something they'd done. So the Bible said, amen, verse number 42, okay, of Luke chapter number 2, he has now been born. He is now 12 years old. We're going to talk about Jesus today. He is the reason for the season. Amen. 42, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company when a day's journey, they sought him among their kinfolks and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. He said unto them, How is it that ye have sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Lord, help us to preach this morning. Anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. Bless those that have come. We thank you for it now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. I'm going to preach for a few minutes this morning on where did you leave Jesus? Where did you leave Jesus? I see my text today. The Bible said that, as I mentioned earlier, they had went to the 12 after the custom of the feast, took what Jesus to the temple there, and when they had fulfilled the days and the custom was over and the feast was over, they went up. They went back to home, and Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. The Bible said, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. They just assumed that he was with them. The Bible said there in the next verse, but they, supposing him to have been in the company. I thought about those of you that have children, could obviously probably every last one of you could tell of the time that you said, I thought he was right here, and you turned around, he wasn't there. Or you went looking for him, and you supposed he was in his bedroom, but when you got there, he wasn't in his bedroom. And you went there, and all these things, you took that assumption that that's where he was. Or he was in the backyard, and you just assumed that's where he was. And you turned around, and he was the neighbor called, and he was three doors down. What's your kid? Well, that's a lot of things have happened. I've thought about the children that have drowned in swimming pools in the backyard. Well, he was just right here beside me. You know, a child is so quick, you turn your head and there he is. He is gone. Well, Jesus was not a little kid. He was 12 years old. He is fixing to be in his teenage years. And now they have come and they've been around. They've been around family and friends, no doubt. And here they have headed back home with a big crowd of people. They're heading back home, but they have got a problem. They do not have Jesus with them. I want to tell you, we're living in a world today of a whole lot of people that think that they've got Jesus living in their heart. There's a whole lot of people that just suppose that God is there. Well, I want to explain something to you today. I do believe that the hand of God, amen, is there on the sinner and has mercy upon the lost, and even people who are not saved or where they need to be with God. I've seen God's hand be in their life and have mercy upon them and even deal with them or touch them or help them, even when they were not where they were supposed to be. I have seen the hand of God work. But there are a lot of people in America today, there's a lot of people in Martinsburg today that suppose that Jesus is with them, and he's not. They are not where they need to be. Amen. I want to tell you, the Bible, that we've got so many people now that tell us, amen, if you don't judge nobody, you just let everybody do their own thing. If they say they're saved, they're saved. Well, friend, that sounds good, and it sure is convenient, but it is not in this Bible. For this Bible teaches me that you shall know them by their fruits. Amen. And he said, an apple tree, and I'm paraphrasing, doesn't put off oranges. Amen. But a fruit tree puts off its fruit of its own kind. And when a person is a cursing and a swearing and drinking and smoking and carrying on and partying, amen, that's not the fruit of a Christian. That's not a fruit of a Christ-like spirit. When they're full of bitterness and hatred and anger and can't never say a good word about somebody, they may talk the talk that they know Jesus. They may talk the talk about, well, I know him. Well, you may know of him. But I want to tell you, my friend, he's not with you today. You're making a journey without Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to tell you, friend, there's nothing worse than traveling without Jesus. Amen. And you know what? You want to tell you something about God? Amen. I want to tell you something about Jesus. He never leaves anybody. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll go with you always. If you're making a journey today without Christ, amen, it's because you left him somewhere. Amen. It's because you haven't found him. He's never left me. He's never left you, but there have been times, amen, when I have wandered away from where I was supposed to be. There have been times that I have went where I was not supposed to be. Amen. I want to tell you, there are people here today, amen, at one time you had a walk with Jesus Christ. At one time you knew him personally, and you knew him intimately. Amen. You would cry and pray and talk to him. But if you are honest in your heart today, amen, you've made a journey from Jesus. Amen. That love that you once have, you no longer have. Amen. That joy that you once had, you no longer have. The fire that burned out in your soul, you no longer have today. Well, not everybody here, but somebody here today has made a journey without Jesus. You are traveling solo today, my friend. And I want to tell you, it's time that you got stirred in your heart and said, I've got to get back to where Jesus is. I've got to get back to where I need to be. I've got to get back to where I one time was. I've got to get back with God like I used to know him. You've got to recognize today. You've got to wake up today and realize I am making a journey without Jesus by my side. some of our Baptist friends, the man that gave us these pews doesn't believe this, but some of our Baptist friends would have you to say that if you ever come to an altar and you kneel down, they will tell you a doctrine called eternal security, that you can never be lost again, that once you accept Jesus in your heart, you can never backslide, you can never go away, and that you can be, amen, come in fornication, be in a bar somewhere, in a strip club, amen, and Jesus come back and you're just going to go right away with Him. Why? Because you prayed as a kid, and Jesus said you never can backslide. You're adopted and in, grafted in, and you never, I'm going to tell you, that's not the truth today. The Bible said the hog can return back to his own vomit. Amen. To his wallowing in the mire. The dog can return to his own vomit. And the Bible tells us of a great falling away from Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of people that think, well, I was on fire once and I still know Him and I still know some of the songs. I still clap my hands and I'm okay. No. My friend, you know today down deep inside that you are not where you one time were. You are not what had. You do not have what you used to have. You do not worship like you used to worship. You do not sing like you used to sing. And more than anything, you do not pray like you one time used to pray. And you can say what you want. You can cross your arms and say, ain't nobody going to tell me I don't know God. Or you can make a confession today like Mary and Joseph did. My God, where's He at? I thought He was with us. I didn't realize we done went a day's journey without Him. It's so easy. I said it's so easy to travel along. It's so easy to get caught up in life, Brother Ryan. It's so easy to get caught up in the day-to-day cares of life that we leave Jesus behind. And that's where we are on this Christmas day. Amen. So many people have left Jesus when it's supposed to be all about Him. When they should have been in this church this morning celebrating the birth of Jesus. They're going to somebody else's birthday party this morning. They're going to another get-together this morning. But I want to tell you, if you want to find Jesus, you're going to have to get back to where He is. You're going to have to get back around people that He associates with. And you're going to have to find Him where He is at this morning. Woo, come on here now. I preached a week or two ago about, amen, the path of the prodigal. And I want you to know something. The Bible tells of a prodigal son that went to a far country. Amen. And we find that the father waited on him and the father was there, but we never find where the father went to the far country after him. Now, I don't have proof that he didn't, but Jesus never told us that, Brother Shane. The father was right where the son left him, still waiting on him. Oh yeah, he'll love you in your... He loved his son in the beggar's rags. He didn't say you got to come back clean and shined up. No, come on back, just come back like you are. I'm here. You can come as you are, but I'm not coming down there in the hog pen after you. If you want to be at the father, you're going to have to come back to where I am. Amen. And there's a lot of people, they want the benefits of Jesus. They want to have Him on the string. They want, when they have emergency, they want to go pray and, oh God, help me. And Lord, you must not love me. You didn't even hear my prayer. The problem is you're not near enough for God to hear you. Amen. You've done went a day's journey. You done went too far. You've left Him, but He's still here. He's still at the altar. He's awaiting on the sinner to come back. He's still forgiving. He's still healing. He's still saving. He's still doing all the things He always done. For you see, when Mary and Joseph got back, He simply said to them, didn't you understand that I had to be a about my father's business. This is what I have to do. This is what I was sent for. And I want to tell you, Jesus is still doing the father's business. And if you say, well, Brother Brent, I can't feel Him, or I don't know where He's going, I tell you what it is. If you'll start shucking off some of this old world and laying aside the weights and the sins that you've allowed to take you away from Christ, you can come back to where He is today. Great God, you can feel Him again. He'll touch you again. He'll help you again. He'll restore your soul again. But you've got to realize today that I am traveling without Him in this service. Somebody say amen. Woo, hallelujah. Come on here now. Caught up in the cares of life. Just traveling home, Brother Ryan. Been a busy time down in Jerusalem. Man, we're ready to get home and unwind. And in the midst of their hustle and their bustle and the packing and let's get going. And no doubt it's 7 o'clock in the morning. Joseph's out there warming up the mules. And let's roll, huh? Got the heat turned on? Or, huh? He's got the mules fired up, ready to go. We got to get out. We're leaving the crack of dawn, huh? We got things to do. And Adam, there they go. Not particularly even trying to do anything wrong. Not particularly trying, but just in their busy schedule. In their rush, they left Jesus behind in Jerusalem. And that's where so many of us are today. We're running, we're gunning, we're going and blowing. We're here, We're there. We're wore out. We ain't never getting enough sleep. We're doing this. We got that. We got to do this. We got that to go to. And we're running and we're going. And in the middle of it all, where's our prayer life? Huh? The most important thing that we've got to do, where's it at? Well, I look at you this morning. I confess to you as a man and as a human. I've done it many times myself. Jump out of the bed, up too late. Brother Ryan, set the alarm. I'm getting up. I'm praying. I'm going to get up and pray this morning. That alarm goes off and you hit that snooze button and you hit it again, huh? Because you know that now you wouldn't be late for work. We can't do that. Well, maybe we might be 10 minutes late. But we just can't. Why? Because, well, Brother Brent, I gotta have that paycheck. I can't afford to lose my... Well, what's more important than that paycheck is this soul right here. But yet sometimes we get so caught up. And the truth of the matter is, we stayed up till 1 or 2 o'clock the night before. We could have went to bed a little earlier. We could have went ahead and crashed down, but maybe, well, I ain't seen my kids, and I've been running, so we wanted to spend some time. We stayed up with them and play, and always, and maybe not even sin. But in the hustle and bustle of it all, Randy, somewhere we left Jesus behind. Huh? Somewhere in the middle of all of the going. Hey, man, we've done made a day's journey. We done went through the whole day and not even took a moment to talk to Him. I don't know about you, but I'll confess that I'm guilty this morning. I'll confess. I'll lift my hand and say Brent Marquis has been guilty too many days of making a day's journey without Jesus. It amazes me. It amazes me at His mercy. It amazes me the times that I've called on Him and called on His name, and He's helped me when I didn't deserve it. When I wasn't in a spiritual place for Him to help me. Come on here now. Amen. When someone called and said, I'm sick or this or that or the other, and you need to pray, or the wife says, honey, we got to touch God, and here you are. Well, God, I need you. We get down and pray, and you're thinking, I didn't even get up this morning to talk to you, Lord. I ain't talked to you all day. I ain't even thought about you. Amen. I spent my whole day running and gunning. Amen. Leaving you out of my life. And now here I am begging you to do something for me. Amen. I feel that tinge of guilt in my heart. Do you? I do. Amen. I tell you why. Because we're making a journey without Him. Amen. I want to preach to you. It's time that you and I this morning, on this Christmas morning, we're fixing to hit the new year. And everybody's going to make their resolution to lose a little weight. Or quit smoking. Or quit drinking. Or do whatever. And all that's great. But we need to be doing on this Sunday morning is making a little resolution a little bit early. Saying, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I've left you out of my life so much. I'm sorry that I've done so much on my own. I'm sorry, God, that I'm not where I one time was. I'm sorry that I'm not where I used to be. But if you'll help me, I'm trying to get back to you, Lord. I'm trying to find my way back. I'm trying to find where you are. I'm seeking you with all of my heart. I need revival down inside. I want you to change my life. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what happens this morning. I'm going to close. I'm going to hold you long. Get the point and get on. We've had a lot of little things going on this morning. Thus and I'm not going to keep you all day. But I want to tell you this morning. Amen. When you find yourself doing things that you one time said God dealt with you not to do, you're traveling without Jesus. Huh? The old thing, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. There are some places that Jesus ain't going to go. There's some things He's not going to do. There's some places He's not going to be associated with. You say, Brother Bert, I got Jesus. I got bad news for you. There's some places you've been going that Jesus ain't going. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I know I got Jesus in my heart. No, there's some words you've been saying that Jesus wouldn't say. Well, I'll tell you, Brother Bert, I know I got Jesus in my heart. No, there's some things you're doing that I know Jesus wouldn't do. The Bible said a fountain can't bring forth both bitter and sweet water. Either a fountain's going to be bitter and give you old iron water or whatever it is, or it's going to give you good, sweet, pure water, but it don't just mix it up. It don't spit out clear one day. No. And you're making a journey without Jesus today. I'll tell you something a little humorous today. Some of y'all look like your mother-in-law moved in on you or something, you know, so I'll say something over here to cheer you up a little bit. But, you know, I was thinking... I heard about an old boy that's out hitchhiking, and everybody knew him. He hitchhiked all the time, Brother Ryan. He's out there hitchhiking, had his thumb up. Old boy come ripping up in his old hot rod car, and he was famous for ripping and tearing and racing. He told the old hitchhiker, he said, get in here, I'll give you a ride. He said, I'm not getting in there with you, you're crazy. He said, come on, get in here with me, I'll give you a ride. He said, no, I'm not getting in there with you. You're crazy. He said, come on, let me give you a ride. He said, no. He said, listen. He said, I got Jesus in here. He said, I'm not getting in that car with you. I know how you drive. Well, the old boy just kept on walking. He peeled out. Old boy walked around the next curb. He done rolled around that curb and done rolled clean down there and had his car up on his top. Old hitchhiker leaned down over the rail. The old boy standing there beside his car, scratched his head. He said, hey. He said, you better let Jesus out of there. You're going to kill him. Hey, man. Well, I want to tell you something. Hey, man, some people that tell me they got Jesus down inside. Hey, man, I'm going to tell you, they're going to kill Jesus in the places they've taken him, Brother Ryan. I got Jesus in my house. Some of the things that's in that house will kill Jesus. Y'all understand what I'm talking about today? Come on here now. I know I'm cranking it down on you a little bit, but it's time you and I realize that we got to get where he is. Amen. We got to check inventory of ourselves. Amen. I feel the Lord here to preach a little bit. I've felt this message for 2 or 3 days now. Amen. Oh, come on. Sometimes you don't know what to preach, but there's sometimes you know exactly what God's giving you. And for 2 or 3 days without knowing who'd be here, what? I know what God told me to preach this morning. Amen. You need to take inventory. Listen, I need to hurry here. The Bible said that they supposed him to have been there. Amen. But then the Bible said they begin to seek him. All of a sudden they begin to realize he's not. Why? Because they begin to look for him, Brother Ryan. Well, he ain't here and he ain't there. The Bible said they sought him among their acquaintance. They didn't get too worried about it at first. But all of a sudden it begins to dawn on them. The realization. And you, Mama, and you, Daddy, have had that horrible feeling when you looked around the store and all of a sudden you realized they wasn't behind that grocery. They wasn't on the next aisle. They wasn't behind that rack of clothes. And all of a sudden, what you thought, well, they're just here. You begin to scramble. You begin to look. All of a sudden, you realize it. And the longer it goes, the more the panic fills your heart. Well, I want to tell you, that's the way Mary and Joseph felt. And they realized he is not with us. And we have got to find him. And the Bible said that they returned. Amen. When they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. I want to ask you today, where did you lose him? Oh, y'all going to help me preach or not? I said, where did you lose him? Amen. You need to get on a search mission this morning. It's time somebody in this building, amen, got to say, Brother Brent, I know exactly where I lost him. Or maybe you don't know where you lost him. Or maybe you don't know where he's at today. But I tell you one thing, Brother Brent, I'm beginning to realize I'm not where I need to be, and I don't have him like I need him. I'm going to go find him. It's time you got serious today about finding the Savior in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It came to pass that after 3 days, can you imagine? Can you imagine? 3 days looking. Hey, friend, they didn't live in a world like we live in. I wouldn't want to look 30 minutes for a kid. You look 3 days for a kid and you don't find him. You got bad problems here. Your kid's missing for 3 days in America. You got problems. Huh? Somebody done got your kid. But in that day and in that hour, even though it wasn't like it is now, 3 days. But I'm going to explain to you what they done. The song said, I kept on searching. I kept on searching. Kept on searching until I found him. And I want to tell you today, there's some of you here, maybe you say, Brother Brent, I ain't never been saved. Or, Brother Brent, I've never really known God. But I'm looking for him. That's good. You are like the wise men. You're like the wise men who had never seen him, but they said, we're going to go find him. And for days, amen, they followed the star. For days, they searched for him. For days, they looked for him. And they kept, and that's maybe you're here today and you say, Brother Brent, I don't really know. I don't know. I don't even know the songs in the songbook. I don't know much about nothing. That's all right. Just keep searching for him. I don't understand everything, but that's okay. Just keep coming. Just keep looking. You're going to find him. You'll learn more. You'll get closer and closer to him the more you come. But I want to tell you, there's some of you here today, amen, they're like Mary and Joseph. It's been a while. Amen. And it's time you just realize, Brother Brent, I've got to get back to where I was. You, my friend, are not where you one time were. You, my friend, are not on fire for God like you one time were. At one time you had a desire. Maybe even there was a call on somebody's life here. Maybe even you felt that tug to pray. I don't know. Maybe different ones, different circumstances in your life. But man, I don't know all the details, but today you're running. You're chasing this. You're chasing that. Trying to pretend like you're happy. But down inside there's something missing. I'll tell you what it is. You've left Jesus back in Jerusalem. And it's time that you got earnest today about getting back and finding him. Several years ago, in an old mining camp, mining town, an old miner come in one night, and he began to pray. He prayed till 9 o'clock. He prayed till 10. An old sinner boy. He prayed for salvation, 10, 11 o'clock. And you know, don't let anybody tell you have to pray for 3 days to get saved. When the Spirit draws you and you confess your sins and you feel the Lord lift that burden from you, you're saved. There's no set time. But for this particular man, Brother Mallon, he just kept praying. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, they begin to disperse. 12 o'clock, he kept on praying, Brother Ryan. Finally, about 1 o'clock, they said he finally stood up and lifted his hands. He said, I've got it, I've got it, I've got it. I got it, I got back to him. I got that peace back in my heart. He went home, slept 2 or 3 hours, and went in the mines. And as he went in the mines that day, it was his last trip in. For that day in work, just several hours after he'd gotten up, the mine caved in. It's a true story, and he died. One of the miners that made it out, he said, I heard him. I could hear him over there mumbling, pinned under a rock. So I could hear him over there mumbling, I'm glad I stayed until I found him. I'm glad I stayed until I found him. I'm glad I stayed until I found him. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, there's one thing you definitely can't afford to do. It's hard enough to live without him. But you can't die without Jesus. I said, you can't die without Jesus. The Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour. Our life is but a vapor that appears for a while and then it vanishes away. It's hard enough to try to live without him in your life. But there's nothing worse than dying without Jesus. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him. Oh. I felt impressed as I was reading this message and studying to what to preach. I noticed something here that I felt like telling somebody today. I want you to notice something in this story. It only took one day for them to leave Jesus. It took one day to lose Jesus. But it took them 3 days to find him. It seemed like I felt the Lord tell me that the journey back is not always easy. The journey back is not always quick. I've seen people come to an altar and pray and get saved, and it seemed like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, they were through, lived right, went on. But they got away from God, and it seemed like there was no 5-minute prayer that could get them back, Brother Shane. And you find yourself, when you begin to take on the cares of this life and the cares of this world, it ain't always easy just to turn around and give it all back. I've seen people come to an altar and pray, and God instantly delivered them of their cigarettes, their alcohol, their drugs. Instantly. But I've seen those same people go back into the world and pick that stuff back up. When they come back the next time, it didn't happen like that. It was a fight. It was a struggle. And so you're here today and you say, Brother Brent, well, I'm looking for him. I've never really even could say that I've really even had a relationship with God or Jesus, but I'm looking. Keep looking. Keep learning. Like them wise men, you're going to find him. And even when you find him, you're not going to know everything about him. You come down this altar and you pray, you're not going to instantly know everything about God. That's okay. You just keep learning. You keep reading that Bible. You get to pray and you'll learn him. You'll know about him. And I've been saved all my life and I still don't know everything there is to know about God. I learn every day. But for some of you here today, you say, yeah, River, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's been too long since I felt God. It's been too long since I experienced him like I used to. It's been too long since I prayed in the altar till the power of the Holy Ghost fell on me. I realize today, Brother Bernard, I've made a journey and Jesus ain't with me. That's hard to admit. Nobody wants to admit that you're not spiritual. Nobody wants to admit I need to pull up. You know what everybody wants to say? Leave me alone, preacher. I still go to church. Everybody wants to be satisfied with. Nobody wants you to tell them, let's pull up a little bit. And as soon as you start telling somebody, come on, let's get a little close. Oh, bless God, this and that. You don't appreciate what I, you don't know what I do. Hey, look, I'm not, look, I don't murder nobody. We're not here to compare you today to who somebody else. We're not here for you to sit down and say, well, I'm not doing this or I'm not doing that. We're here to say, what are you doing? Where are you at this morning? I'm not here to have a discussion with you about, oh, well, I'm still saved and ain't nobody going to tell me I ain't saved. I'm here to tell you you're not where you're supposed to be. And if you're honest, you know it. And if you're honest with yourself, with God, you know. So you got two choices today. For those of you that are here seeking Him and saying, Brother Brad, I don't know much about what I'm looking. You got a choice. I'm going to keep looking. I'm going to keep reaching for God. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get. It ain't easy to find Him. They had to go through some long desert trails. They had to go. And you say, Brother Brad, I'm willing to do what I got to do. I'm willing to pay the price to find. You can do that, or you can say, well, it's just too much work. I'll just go back to my old ways. And those of you here today that are like Mary and Joseph that's made that journey, you got two choices. You can make a choice, Brother Britt, you're right. I'm not where I need to be. I'm going to do better. I'm going to start this morning seeking God. Earnestly seeking God for His will in my life. And for a closer walk with Him again. Or you can wait till the altar call's over. Sit at your pew. Kneel at your pew. Come up, mouse around a little bit, pretend a little bit more, go home like you came. You say, well, what's going to make you happy? Well, first of all, it ain't about what's going to make me happy. It's what's going to help you and what's going to make God happy. But I tell you what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to quit your playing around. I'd like you to come down this altar, and I'd like you to pour your heart out to God and say, Lord, I'm ready to pay the price. I'm ready to make the journey back. I'm ready to start doing what I got to do to find you today. Let's all stand. Lord, I've done my best today. I feel your spirit here. I felt you during some of the singing, God. I know without a doubt you laid this message upon my heart. God, I'm asking you now, Lord, to do a work that I cannot do. Touch hearts and lives and souls this morning. Save, touch, heal, and deliver. Bind the powers of hell that would distract, tear down, destroy. In Jesus' name I pray. Feel the Lord here this morning. Felt like preaching on where'd you leave Jesus. I feel like right now that somebody just wants to step out and come to this altar. I feel that. I want you to step out right now and come to this altar. Say, Brother, I feel God deal with my heart. I got to seek His face. Brother's over here, Brother Mal. I don't want you to be stuck over at the sisters, Brother. Oh, hallelujah. I've seen this boy. I've seen God touch his life. I know that God's hand's on him. Come on, Brother Ryan. I just want one brother right now. I pray with this brother. We'll have more later. Come on. You don't have to be embarrassed in this church. Brother Brent loves you this morning. Brother Brent, I'm going to find him. Come on now. If I got to beg you and pull, then you're not recognizing this morning, Brother Brent. I need him. That's right, Brother Willie. Keep praying. You can't pray too much. Well, Brother Brent, if I come up here, you're going to think I'm... Don't worry. Nobody's going to think nothing. We're going to think that you are looking for God. That you're wanting to get closer to Him. Come on, step out of that seat. Hurry up, hurry up. Brother Brent, I come last day. I come before. Don't worry about it. If God's dealing with you this morning, you feel that drawing, just come on. Brother, I don't know exactly what to say. Don't worry about that. Get up here and just begin to talk to God. Sister Kara's singing this morning. Come on, Brother Shane. Please. Brother, I want to find him. I'm asking you a question today. Do you want to find Jesus? You say, Brother Brent, well, I got some things in my life that I got to get right. No. You got to come to Jesus and then He'll help you get those things right. You don't get it all fixed up and then say, well, here I am, Lord, now I'm perfect. No, you bring your baggage with you to God. You say, Lord, I got to have help with this. Brother Brent, you don't realize I'm doing this. Yeah, that's why you come to the altar. You say, God, here I am. This is what I'm doing. Would you help me, Lord? I feel like tarrying just a moment longer. God's dealing right now. I can come to your seat. I can reach a hand out to you. I can say, come on, please come to the altar. But what you need to do is make your own choice today. You say, Brother Brent, I'm looking for God. Sister Carrie, we're going to sing it one more time. Willie, I want you to take your time and pray a while this morning, Willie. Willie's trying to find God. I could be dead wrong, but I don't believe he's trying to impress anybody else. I really believe in his heart the man wants to do right. He bound down a long, dark trail. I believe the man's seeking God. That's what you need to be doing this morning. You say, well, I know Willie does it. Don't worry about what Willie does. What Willie's doing, he said, I'm trying to do better. Come on, somebody, somebody. Come on, come on. Woo, take your time, Lord.
My heart that was so empty.
Where are you at?
When I met Jesus, I found that His empty.
Oh, listen. I found the peace this old world could never offer. I'm tearing just a moment longer. I don't feel the liberty to close yet. It's early. It's not even 12 o'clock. I kept my word, but I don't feel that liberty to close yet. Hallelujah. Oh, He'll fill the part of your heart that is so empty. Oh, when I met Jesus. Some of you folks who come right here to Lighthouse, God's dealt with you this morning. You want to come pray? The altar's open. You come right here to this church, been here, hey man, more than one time. You say, Brother Brad, go right here. Come to this altar if you like to this morning. Brother Brad, I got to find Jesus. All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to open these altars. If you care about your soul today, if you care about your soul, I want everybody to come to this altar. Everybody. From the front to the back. If you care about your soul this morning, you say, God, I care about my soul. Come to this altar and kneel down. Woo! Hallelujah.
Jesus. time when my life was not worth living. And then come the storm inside of me, but now He is that missing piece. I found the peace that the world could never offer. Those chains of darkness gave way to sweet relief. He time when my life